All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries 5-0, I think. Can you hear us, Kurt?
Yeah, I hear you just fine.
Okay. Any amendments to the meeting agenda for tonight?
I would still like to discuss what I brought up last time about the next year's budget.
Okay, under new business then, maybe?
Sure.
Okay, we'll make that item E. So that'd be the 2015 budget?
Yes.
Okay, anything else? Okay, motion to approve the agenda?
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries 6-0. Okay, public hearings and bid awards. Our bid tonight is, Public Works Department recommended awarding a bid to Rock and Road Construction for an amount not to exceed $48,800 for crushed rock.
I move to accept that bid.
Second. Yeah.
Any discussion? Okay, clerk will call the roll.
Cindy.
Yes.
Nancy.
Yes.
John Heberlin.
Yes.
Kurt.
Yes.
John Ho.
Yes.
And Sue.
Yes. Motion carries 6-0. Okay, visitors' views related to the agenda. Mr. Bracken.
Okay. I may want to address 11B, depending on the direction of the conversation. If I have to talk now, or I may want to address the assembly regarding item 11B, depending kind of on the course of the conversation, and otherwise I'll just be here to answer questions.
Okay, thank you. Any other visitors? It's you. Okay. Visitors' views unrelated to the agenda? Okay. Any board, commission, or committee reports? Okay. No consent agenda. Report of other officers? Moving right along. The mayor's report. Okay. We are seeking letters of interest from persons interested in serving on the Ad Hoc Sales Tax Ordinance Review Committee. The committee will review the borough's current sales tax ordinance as it relates to changing commerce and economical needs in support of a wide variety of public community services and operations. After review, including receipt of public input, the committee will make recommendations for changes to the ordinance. Assembly members Strand and Flint have expressed interest in serving on the committee. One letter of interest has been received from Hillary Whitethorn, and also today I received one from Lee Corio, and Fran Jones is also willing, so we're getting there. Item B, then, is the letter about the herbicides that Mr. Bracken is here to answer questions about. Guess maybe do I need to read that for the record here? This is to Commissioner Pat Kemp, Department of Transportation and Public Facilities. The Petersburg Borough has learned that earlier this spring, regulations were adopted that would allow state agencies to apply herbicides and pesticides on state property and rights of way without obtaining a permit from the DEC and without public review. The Petersburg Borough is very concerned that this action denies our citizens the right to participate in a decision-making process and jeopardizes our community. The broad application of herbicides and pesticides can and does affect drinking water, aquatic habitat, and impacts traditional food gathering areas. In addition, this process exposes our children and pets to harmful, possibly carcinogenic toxins. These regulations were adopted despite widespread public opposition across the state. The people of Alaska collectively own our public water supply, our fish, and our wildlife resources. We strongly feel that we should have a voice regarding if and when there are any plans which might negatively impact those resources within our area. The 30-day notification requirement prior to application that was adopted allows for no public input. This falls way short of providing our citizens a voice. Alaska markets our wild salmon to the world by touting our pristine waters. Applying toxic chemicals to the upland habitat would certainly make that a questionable claim. Spraying our uplands could negatively impact productivity of local salmon streams. Even the small tributaries are important fish-rearing habitat. Also, many of the out-the-road residents rely on surface runoff and small streams for their drinking water. Many of our residents gather berries, fiddlehead ferns, and other traditional foods along roadways in our area. If herbicides and pesticides are applied, there is simply no way to protect against contamination. This is particularly true in our island rainforest ecosystem, where anything applied to the land is rapidly washed into adjacent waterways and eventually into salt water by the rain. You may recall that several years ago, the DOT announced plans to spray herbicides to control plant growth along Mitkoff Highway. The people of Petersburg expressed strong opposition, and that program was stopped before it got started. Some were opposed to the visual impact, but most were more concerned that toxic residue would contaminate residential runoff-based water supplies and run into the aquatic habitats and impact fish productivity. Those concerns have not changed. ADOT went back to mowing the roadsides, and although that method is more labor-intensive, it has kept the vegetation down and kept the toxic chemicals out of the island's water supplies and waterways. Article 10 of the state constitution clearly provides broad powers to local governments. Home rule local governments enjoy even broader powers. Article 10, Section 11 of Alaska's constitution provides that a home rule borough or city may exercise all legislative powers not prohibited by law or by charter. Adoption of a home rule charter promotes maximum local self-government to the greatest extent possible. Given that language in the Constitution, it certainly seems that the borough, not the state, should be making the decision on whether or not it's important to protect our primary industry and protect the residents of the borough from toxic contamination. We feel strongly that large-scale application of herbicides and pesticides should not be allowed within our borough. This is the best way to protect our citizens and the waterways of our community. The borough plans on adopting an ordinance and land use restrictions that will ban the large-scale application of herbicides and pesticides within the borough boundaries. At the very least, any plans to apply herbicides or pesticides should require a public review process and approval by the Assembly before application could occur. We would appreciate your immediate attention to this issue. And did the mayor sign this before he left town?
We did two things, if I may.
Okay.
First of all, we had our attorney, Sarah Heideman, look at it to make sure that we were not saying anything that was well vetted. She made some changes, and this is the final draft. We had Mark sign it before he left, just in case.
Okay.
If there's any changes to it, then we can make those changes, and we'll have the mayor pro tem sign it instead.
Okay. Any comments?
Ms. Mayor, can I ask the city manager, has there been any communication with the state on this issue?
Not at this time. Our attorney recommended, actually, if we choose to send the letter, she recommended a couple of things. First of all, that the land use restrictions are the more powerful way to go about this. She did say that the state could very well override those if they chose to and went through some certain hoops, but it wouldn't hurt for us to do that. She, as well as our staff, acknowledged that that would take a long time. We've committed to the people living outside Service Area 1 that any borough-wide restrictions, like land use in particular, we would definitely seek their input. So going through that process would take some time, but can be done. She also said that if we decide to send the letter, it's worth calling DOT and asking them, can they hold public hearings? They don't have to. Mr. Brackens is correct. And thank you, Mr. Brackens, for the work on this. He is correct that they don't have to. She says, but it never hurts to ask to see if, in fact, they will be willing to talk to us and hold public meetings here. We have not done that yet, waiting for how the Assembly wants to handle the process.
John Haverly.
Yes. Thank you. I'd like to thank Barry. This letter, I feel, is very well written, and the effects of spraying would be a disaster for the native style of life and a subsistence style of life, which we do have in all throughout our borough now. So I'm very glad we're doing this. I would like to hold off on any further action, like an ordinance, until we get the feedback on this letter. I'm hoping that this is enough to keep them from spraying, and the reason I'd like to hold off going farther is the expense and the complications that may follow, but I'm very much in favor of this letter, and it can be worded strongly enough.
I will go Nancy first.
This is a statewide thing that they're proposing, right? Have any other communities, have we heard of any other communities' input? Barry, have you heard of anything from any other communities?
I am not aware of any, Nancy, but I would hope that this would be precedent-setting, because I know that based on the amount of concern that I've heard from people since this issue came on the table and the positive feedback and the thanks, that this is a lot of people are concerned about this. Mm-hmm. To answer your question, no, but I would hope that it could be.
Surely we're not the only town that has a concern, you'd think.
Yeah, you'd think so.
I would think there'd be more.
And John Hogg?
I share John Haverlick's view on this. I am concerned about the time and expense of adopting an ordinance that could easily be trumped by the state, which they can do. I would suggest, and I would like to see the last paragraph modified to simply say the borough, say something to the effect of the borough hopes that it does not have to go ahead and adopt an ordinance. And I would suggest that it be modified to simply not say we're going to do it, but to say we hope we don't have to do it, and the state, hopefully that sends enough of a message to the state. But I'm concerned about the time and expense of a fight in this mm-hmm. area.
Do we need to make a motion and then amend?
Good plan.
Well, I make a motion then that we send this letter, and I'll let John make a motion to amend.
Is there a second? Okay, thank you. Motion made by Member Lagadakis and seconded by Member Strand to send the letter. Mr. Hogue, did you want to
amend it? I'm doing some penmanship here, if I can have 1 second.
Mm-hmm. Could we just delete it?
Well, I'm trying to get as much of it in as we can. All right, I would, if I may, mm-hmm. I would move that we take out the words plan on and substitute hopes that it does not have to consider, and then keep going.
Hopes adopting an ordinance and land use restrictions that will ban the large-scale application of herbicides and pesticides within borough boundaries does not become necessary.
Well, you missed a few words, if I may. The borough hopes that it does not have to consider.
And then you go on with adoption adopting. Instead of adopting.
That's fine.
And then wouldn't the rest of it flow okay?
Yeah.
With your language?
Yeah.
Mrs. Mayor?
Kathy, did you get all that?
I did.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, adoption of.
Yeah. Got the
other
there.
Okay. If you give us a little bit of license, I think we've got the point.
We just have it.
We can wordsmith it. If
John?
I was just wondering, adding to this, John, would you consider it be appropriate to say, or pursue further legal action? Or is that a little too much of a club?
I hate threatening that club unless we're going to really use it.
We don't want it.
It's a matter of policy.
Barry, go ahead.
And Madam Mayor, just one fine point on this is that if the Assembly were to take the position that they're not going to adopt any strong action because it could be overruled by a higher order, then basically there would never be any regulations cast in the land because they can all be overturned. So I understand where you're coming from on this, but I really, you know, maintain some kind of language that makes sure the state understands that you mean business, because, you know, since 2 weeks ago I've researched this further, and this is really, really serious stuff, and I think that you need to make sure that you convey that if they don't, then you will. And I personally would not be too concerned about whether or not the governor chooses to overturn the ordinance of a home rule city. I think if you really feel it, it's in the best interest of the citizens of this borough to take action, then I think it's your obligation and duty to do so. So, thank you.
Any further discussion? Are we ready for the vote on the amendment?
I think we need a second.
Yes.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Second.
Okay. Okay, now any further discussion? We're comfortable with the amendment. Okay, all in favor of the amendment to change the wording? Say aye, I guess.
Aye.
Okay, opposed? Okay, that carries 6-0. Did you hear, Kurt?
Yes, I did.
Okay, so then now we're back to the main motion. Any further discussion on the letter itself as amended? Okay. Kathy, is there any reason for roll call vote on this?
We can do this.
Okay. Then all in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries 6-0 to send the letter as amended.
Thank you again, Barry.
Okay. One question, let's see, I guess I can wait and ask you on the manager's report on that one. Our July meeting schedule is on here because at noon on the 1st of July, which is our regular scheduled meeting, is the change of the command ceremony for the Coast Guard over at the Sons of Norway Hall, and we've been invited to attend. And I just wondered if we would want to change our meeting time, perhaps to 1:00.
Sure.
Would that work for everyone?
Yep.
That would be fine.
Okay. Well, thank you.
Will the Coast Guard be done in an hour?
The ceremony will be done. The reception may not, but we can be back.
Okay.
I think
1:00.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Manager's report.
Would you like me to go first, or do you want to ask your question?
Go ahead.
Okay. Yes, ma'am. Progress on the drive down and crane dock projects has continued. GLO and the Harbor Board had a work session held the week before last. 65% documents were reviewed on the drive down, and the 95% documents for both crane dock and drive down dock are scheduled for September. So again, we're moving forward. Harbor Board met Wednesday at noon to talk about the fish waste cleaning station, sea lion issue, and also the Papke's Landing acquisition. GLO, do you want to talk a little bit about the sea lion decision at this point?
Certainly. Mayor and Council.
Plus give good news.
Yeah. Well, we went into the meeting with excitement that we got both of the grant for the troller work float and the fish cleaning station. So we have a couple $100,000 to throw at this problem as we go forth and design a new float for the launch ramp. So that was pretty exciting to be armed with that kind of information. That was the salmon mitigation money that we applied for. So at that meeting, we had Officer Cook, and we had the board, and we had a couple of visitors, and I can't remember if Stan was there as well, but talked about the fish cleaning stations, and what came out of that meeting was a proposal to come back to the assembly to talk about putting some additions to the code. We looked at various harbors around the state and what they have done when it comes to fish cleaning and waste, disposal of waste. And the only one that really kind of fit our issue was Sitka. So we looked at their language, and we've been circulating some, I sent it to Steve today, but circulating some language that we hope to be able to propose to you at the July meeting to talk about, banning the fish clean or the waste disposal in the harbor. So to kind of help with that. So we'll hopefully come back to you with those recommendations. So that was that. And then the Papke's Landing acquisition, we just followed along with the planning and zoning recommendation. There was one mention of maybe not lead with offering up borough state, properties that we're supposed to be able to acquire through the borough process, maybe kind of hold that one a little bit closer to the chest. And maybe we can talk about when we go to acquire the float system from DOT. See, there's three different government agencies. You have DNR, you have the mental health, and you also have DOT. And perhaps we can force the issue with the parking through DOT. If you're going to give us the float system, maybe we can, since you're both the state, maybe you can get us an inside door with mental health in the parking lot. So, anyway, that's where the Harbor Board came in.
Thank you, Glo. And I'll touch on that a little bit later. Officer Jared Pop received a letter of recommendation from a local family as a result of his performance on an EMS call where he provided CPR. Just wanted to recognize that. Dispatcher Correctional Officer Lori Steenblock, is scheduled to travel to attend Alaska Public Safety Information Network training. This allows the dispatch to adhere to the security protocols the state requires for acquiring restricted information on folks, make sure that we handle that information properly, criminal history, warrants, etc. Cost of the training was $668.10. Welcome to our newest officer, Jim Kerr, who started on June 10th. He's from Kingman, Arizona, and him and his family, I think two boys, are here in town. So welcome to town. Thanks to many different departments and local agencies who involved with coordination with the Alaska State Troopers and the Coast Guard, provide assistance on our plane crash. I think everybody did a really great job on this pretty tragic event, and thanks to the police department for a lot of the work they did on coordinating, as well as Sandy and her team in EMS and search and rescue. Downtown paving work continues from Excel to Fram Street. Storm drain work is almost complete in the block. Focus will be on the grade work and concrete work in this block in the near future. Plan is to have all of that done prior to the 4th of July. So, as much as some people may be looking for rain, let's hope it holds off long enough for them to get this concrete done. The Clausen Museum retaining wall and the site prep, if you haven't been by there, it's been started. A lot of the excavation's done. And I'm not sure if they've got all the excavation done, but the project is definitely underway.
May I ask a question about that project?
Sure.
Someone had approached me and was concerned that because they had taken down the so much earthwork that it would all be turned to a parking lot. And my understanding is that there still would be an option to expand the building at a future date, that it will not all be paved over. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay.
Yeah, this is replacing that retaining wall and getting it to where it's not going to fall down. So. Carl and Glo worked with Rocky, is what I've heard. Casey, okay, in South Harbor. It's part of our ongoing experiment to kind of try to show DOT that their approach driveways need to be wide enough to support our fleet and the folks using that ramp. I don't know how successful we were. We continue to try to show them. And, again, kind of thanks to everybody for trying to fight for this, get what we need there instead of what DOT wants to do. Grading and dust control are ongoing by the street department. It's hard to keep up with. It's so dry right now. And while that is a priority, it's not always the top priority to spray the streets. Pump Station 5, we did have to go back in with our crew to tear out some more trees between the pump station and the Outlook Park, I guess. That, I think, is completed, and we'll clear that area. Again, we're doing that to keep the costs down rather than paying the contractor to do that. The commingled recycling trial is off to a good start. We've picked up over 1,100 pounds of recycling by PIA in the first week. So this is really important and kind of goes to one of the other items on the agenda on the waste management contracts, so I'll talk some of it when we get to that point. But the test is so far so good, going really well. It's something we'd love to roll out. We just have to understand the costs and what that'll do to us when we do. Annual household hazardous waste event was successful. 43 drums of material along with 8 cardboard totes were collected, about twice what was expected. Again, great opportunity to get rid of some of this stuff that we need to handle, especially. Library will not be scheduling passport appointments or proctoring tests between Thursday, July 18th and Monday, September 8th, as they get ready for their move, and everybody will be working on that. A member of the library staff will be attending the International Conference of Tribal Archives, Libraries, and Museums. It's a conference. It's a requirement for our Institute and Library Services grant. All the travel costs and wages for this conference are paid with the grant funds. Interior exposed wooden beams have been sanded, stained, and sealed for the library. They're now painting the sheetrock walls. Excuse me. Exterior siding is complete. Curbs around the parking area and the parking lot asphalt is done. We expect the non-punch list construction to be completed by July 15th. And punch list stuff, they're thinking August 1st, or give or take, depends on what they find. So should be ready for us to start moving in right around that time. We're purposely trying to keep our move-in away from the construction so that the punch list items are done quick, yeah, and we don't get in the way. We've implemented a revised salary range and compensation system for the department heads. May not know, department heads do not get, they're not part of the collective bargaining, they do not get cost of living raises. This is a way to kind of set it up where we know what the salary ranges are for various departments and what the maximums are, and that was budgeted for, and we have finished that process. It really relies on the cold market basket approach where we took those cities that we talked about, got salaries, equivalent salaries, match job descriptions, and then develop salary ranges based upon that, and all the, and also differences that we have on our job descriptions here. So worked out really, really well. Time-consuming, but good exercise. I'm looking at a system that would do that for us, but it's pricey. We could do it just for the department heads for about $6,000 a year. We could do it for all employees for about $15,000. We did not budget for that, and we've got a lot of looking into it before we go down that road. All of the invoices are in from the police chief recruiting and Jim and Heidi's retirement. The assembly had approved an overall budget of $30,000. The borough spent a total of about $27,000. The recruitment process was $26,500, and Jim and Heidi's retirement was about $500. So came in under budget, which happy to see. Ryan is assisting the state fire marshal with some commercial inspections over the last week. This is something that we wanted to get him more and more involved in. It helps us so we can respond quicker and helps us him become a resource or better resource for people that are doing work rather than having to wait on the state fire marshal. At least we can maybe spot problems and identify those prior to the state fire marshal coming in. Training room at the fire hall continues to see increased use by the community. Put this on here because it's real important. I mean, that the fire hall gets a lot of is now starting to get a lot of use for a lot of different things that add a lot of value to the community, especially that room there. So good stuff. The EMS ambulance runs are up over 20 incidents this year compared to last year at the same period, thanks to Sandy and her group.
It's 30 now.
It's now 30. Thank you.
Busy week.
Thank you, and I'm sorry.
We'll crack that.
And the, you know, I had on here the herbicide issue. We talked about that already. So, any other questions?
My question was, did the mayor send a letter to the Canadian Nathan Cullen regarding the transboundary rivers? And seems like that was in the minutes, is what brought that up to me. He did.
Sorry, I hesitated. I wasn't sure. Thank you, Kathy. I thought he had, then I couldn't remember.
Okay, great. That answers my question. So, thank you. Any questions for the manager from anyone? Okay, unfinished business. The Juneau appeal of Petersburg borough boundaries. Petersburg and the LBC filed their response briefs to Juneau's appeal on May 31st. Juneau is to file its appellant's reply brief within 20 days of those filings. However, they have a right to an automatic 15-day extension if they choose. So we anticipate Juneau's reply brief will be filed no later than July 5th. And then under redistricting, did we have something? Did we need to read ours? Oh, that's the redistricting.
That's the letter. It's under redistricting. Sorry, ma'am. There's a letter related
right
to it.
Okay. The redistricting board began daily work sessions June 12th that will continue through June 20th. On June 21st, they will hold a board meeting where they will formally adopt their draft Hickel plan. Public hearings on the Hickel plans will be held in Anchorage on June 28th, Fairbanks July 1, and Juneau on July 2nd. The borough's redistricting attorney, Tom Klinkner, drafted a letter to the board outlining Petersburg's redistricting preference for assembly approval. And that is in our packets here. So, I guess I will read that. And before I do, there's a word in there. Contiguity.
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 You got it.
Okay, I've been round and round on that one. Okay, this is to the Alaska Redistricting Board from us. Petersburg Borough asks that the Alaska Redistricting Board retain in its districting plan for the 2014 elections the districting for Southeast Alaska Option A that the board unanimously adopted on May 14, 2012. On May 10, 2012, the Alaska Supreme Court ordered the board to redraw the four House districts in Southeast Alaska to comply solely with the requirements of contiguity, compactness, and relative socioeconomic integration in Article 6, Section 6 of the Alaska Constitution, and not to alter the resulting plan based on the Federal Voting Rights Act, because there is no Federal Voting Rights Act justification for deviating from Alaska constitutional requirements in Southeast Alaska. After considering five options for the district of Southeast, including Option A, the board unanimously selected Option A as the best plan for districting Southeast. In making this decision, the board applied the criteria for House districts in Article 6, Section 6 of the Alaska Constitution in the correct priority. The requirements of Article 6, Section 6 shall receive priority inter se in the following order. 1. Contiguousness and compactness. 2. Relative socioeconomic integration. 3. Consideration of local government boundaries. 4. Use of drainage and other geographic features in describing boundaries. There are no issues of contiguity with option A, and its districts are the most compact of the five options that the board considered. As the board's council observed, option A does not present any issues with socioeconomic integration. State Ferry Service connects numerous southeast communities. Smaller southeast rural communities have common interests, but also are substantially integrated with the urban hubs that serve as their centers for transport, commerce, and services. Past southeast districts typically included an elongated district composed of rural communities. However, as the board's council observed, this had been done to create a native influence district in southeast that now is not required because the Voting Rights Act does not apply to the redistricting of Southeast Alaska. The requirement of socioeconomic integration is given some flexibility by the Constitution, since districts need to be integrated only as nearly as practical. There is no justification for sacrificing compliance with the higher priority compactness requirement to combine far-flung rural communities with sufficient population for a house district when more compact and sufficiently integrated districts already exist in option A. The Alaska Supreme Court determined not to use option A for the 2012 elections only out of concern that objections to option A might preclude timely preclearance from the Department of Justice. Even though option A may comply with the redistricting criteria of Article 6, Section 6 of the Alaska Constitution, the same considerations do not constrain the board now. Option A remains the districting plan for Southeast that best meets the requirements of Article 6, Section 6 of the Alaska Constitution. The Voting Rights Act still provides no justification for deviating from Alaska constitutional requirements in Southeast Alaska, and there is ample time to obtain Department of Justice preclearance of a redistricting plan that includes option A before the 2014 elections. Yours truly, Mayor Jensen. So, I guess we need to decide if that's our pleasure to send that letter off to the state redistricting board. Any ideas?
Well, this looks good to me. Is this what we had selected that was rejected by them? Was this our choice then before?
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah.
I have no problem.
Okay, and you have the map there. Okay.
I move that we send this letter in support of option A.
Is there a second?
I'll second it.
Okay. Discussion.
Have we heard anything from Klinkner in the last couple of days?
If I may?
Mm-hmm.
We talked to Tom about this issue and what we should do as far as filing a comment on the situation.
Yeah.
The mayor asked Tom, who wrote that letter for us.
Mm-hmm.
His statement was, which plan do we want to follow, meaning Tom Klinkner's plan. We went back through the council records, and option A was the original plan that the city council proposed, actually got approved by the redistricting board at one point, and even the court, and then got kicked out by the Supreme Court, as the letter talked about. So, again, this was the plan that the city at that point in time preferred,
mm-hmm.
and was put forward, so we thought it'd be consistent to stick to that.
That keeps us with Sitka and Wrangell rather than Juneau.
Yes, it does.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, that was the okay. That was the justification, and Mark asked us to have Tom put the letter together.
Any further discussion? Okay, all in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Okay, this motion carries.
I think so.
6-0. We'll send the letter. Okay, under new business then. The first item we have is an authorization to submit an application to Mental Health Trust for consideration regarding the acquisition of Tract 8B at Papke's Landing. The borough is seeking assembly approval to begin the application process with Mental Health Trust to acquire Tract 8B at Papke's Landing.
If I may?
Yes, okay. Please.
This cost $500, which is a nominal fee to start the process with Mental Health. We ran this by the Harbor Board to make sure this was something they at least felt enough, strong enough to start the application process, as well as planning and zoning. We have a person who works for Mental Health that's very familiar with this property and is willing to kind of help the help it move along. This does not force the borough to buy it or to do anything else other than by filing the application, it allows Mental Health to open a file and start the process from their end about, you know, surveying, putting a value on it, all the things they need to do to, whether it's a land swap, whether it's giving it, or whether it's selling. So none of that can happen until this application is filled out and filed. So again, the concept was to get it in process. As Glo mentioned, there's a lot of other kind of moving parts that could come into play. Could we choose it as part of our lawn selection? Could we swap it with something else? Does the borough want to pay for it? Could we make it part of the property of the concept of getting the dock itself? We don't know any of those yet, but again, this was to start the process.
Nancy? I just have one question. Is this an expense that should perhaps be borne by a service area?
It could be. I mean, if the assembly wanted to go down that road, I'll look. Unfortunately, with Mental Health, I'll look several years down the road. There'll be an expense associated with that facility. I don't think there's any question, and that's really where Nancy's, you know, mm-hmm. statement comes into play, sure. Which is if we continue down this road, and that piece of property looks like the borough has the opportunity to acquire it, therefore we acquire the maintenance side of it, you have to look at it from that perspective as one of the options. It doesn't have to be decided at the application stage. Unfortunately, a long way between filing this application and having it in our hands. But at some point, I mean, you know, Glo's going to look to us and say, if you're going to give this to me, what are you going to give me to take care of it? Mm-hmm. It'll have an impact on her budget, the assembly's budget, and who's going to pay for it.
No, that's the acquiring Papke's Landing, the dock, the float. I'm talking about this lot. Is this $500 fee and whatever other fees are generated by the trying to acquire this? Is service area one and the entire borough going to take it on, or is this something that needs to be decided by the service area?
What? I mean, the borough assembly can vote to pay the $500 to start the application. We don't need to start in a service area, a new service area, to start that application process. But down the road, there will be costs associated with that facility, and the assembly will have to weigh in at a certain point. So the assembly can authorize us to pay the $500 and file the application. We don't have to form a service area to do that. But that's up to you.
And I may be wrong, but it seems like the assumption with a service area is that only Alder Road residents use Papke's Landing, and that really isn't the case.
No. Not the assumption. We've been faulted for spending money by, and I'm not sure that if the amount was even less than $500. It's not a question of being only used by people who aren't in service area one. It's just that is it a service area issue? This land, acquiring it, the process of acquiring it, the upkeep of it, the whole thing.
I think it will be eventually.
Well, we need to make sure we know it might, and that our action of starting the process for $500 doesn't become
a precedent or
the deciding factor on, oh, well, no, we didn't vote on that, so service area one can pay for it.
Well, right now we're just going to start the process. Mm-hmm. We're a long
That's
way
right.
from making a decision, and mm-hmm. you know, it may be years, and it may not happen. And but at some point, we're going to have to look at this whole area of mm-hmm. Papke's Landing. Mm-hmm. So I personally am prepared to vote to go ahead and spend the $500, start the process, recognizing that this will, if this starts to look like fruition, it's going to, then we're going to require a lot of work on everybody's part.
So do I have a motion?
Yeah.
And I'll second.
Okay. So the motion was made by Member Hogue and seconded by Member Lagadakis to go ahead and pay the $500 to apply for the property at Papke's Landing, tract number 8B from the Mental Health Trust. Any further discussion? John?
Yes, Madam Mayor. I have the same concern about monies on this. If we get this, you know, mental health's mandate is to make money. So they're, you know, they'll sell anything if you give them the right price. But and that's their mission. The other part is DNR and DOT are part of this mess. The dock's in horrible shape. If, you know, if we get one, are we going to fall through with the other? And the dock could probably be $1 million improvement. And naturally, we'll want DOT to fix the dock before we take it, and then they'll probably tell us where to go. But are we getting into sort of a quagmire starting with this? You know, I don't know. I'm asking the other council people, because we're starting a process that's only going to be worthwhile if we get the other two components, and then that's one heck of an expense, too. I'm just uncomfortable starting something that I don't know if I want to go through the expense of. And, you know, you're right, it'll probably be 10, 20 years down the road before we see anything. And that's just the mental health part. But, yeah, I'm just a little uncomfortable with committing us to more work and more monies, staff time and energy on something where we don't know where DNR and the state are. And you know, if the state would come along and say, hey, we're going to rebuild this, we'll give you this and rebuild the dock if you take it and take over the maintenance for the next 1 million years, do we want to find out what they're doing or get involved in? Because it's one of these things where if we start it, we've got a long way to go and I think a lot of expense.
I can kind of speak to a part of that.
Go ahead.
DOT would love for the borough to take that dock.
As is.
I mean, they are working very quickly on a proposal for that and I think two other properties, Carl. So you're correct in saying that this is a step towards a much bigger deal. The mental health property is basically, I guess, would be, you could call it parking lot property more than anything else. Mm-hmm. The key pieces are the DNR and the DOT piece, of which there is indications the state would be happy to give those to the borough. We don't know under what circumstances. We don't know if the assembly will want to accept them if under those circumstances. And we don't know how much negotiation room there is that can go on related to it. You can call it lucky, I guess, in the sense that mental health tends to take a really long time. My guess is the DOT and DNR questions will be answered long before we ever got to a decision point on the mental health land, but don't know that, and it is going to get complicated if it proceeds on.
I have heard that Mental Health Trust is looking at a number of properties that they really don't want to manage, and so they may... I mean, we don't know, and I agree with that this may be very complicated. We may walk away from it. But on the other hand, Mental Health Trust may decide that it's not in their best interest to keep sitting on this piece of property also. So that another factor. So that's why I support at least starting the dialogue to look at this.
Yeah, I don't feel like the $500 application commits us to anything.
It does not.
If it gets the ball rolling so mental health can give us some idea of boundaries and costs and what they think it's worth.
They they cannot really speak to us about this property until we pay the $500 and file the application. Okay. It's they can't answer questions, they can't talk to us about options, we can't negotiate with them in any way, shape, or form. So that's kind of.
And also, I think another good point is that the Planning and Zoning and Harbor Boards have recommended that we do this. So I do support that. But are we through discussing? Any other comments? Kathy, would you like to call the roll?
Sue.
Yes.
John Heberlet?
No.
John Ho?
Yes.
Kurt?
Yes.
Nancy?
No.
Cindy?
Yes.
Okay, motion carries 4-2. Okay, the next is an authorization to purchase a subscription and service agreement with eCivis, okay, which is an online grant management and search tool. Manager Giesbrecht expects this resource to be most helpful to the library, Parks and Rec, the museum, hospital, fire department, and possibly public works.
If I may?
Mm-hmm.
eCivis has been around forever. There I... what they do is provide a database of grant agencies throughout the United States. They tend to be smaller in nature. These are not grants that would put in a new water system, but they're foundations and grants, both federal, state, as well as the foundation stuff. It's a subscription service. You pay $1,700 a year is all. But you have to sign a 3-year contract, so it's $1,700 for each of 3 years to be able to access their system. You do not have to pay for any grants you get unless the grant agency itself is asking for something. What it does is it makes it easier to find grants, particularly those smaller ones that are useful for nonprofit organizations, again, like the museum, library, things like that. Liz Cabrera and I sat through the sales pitch, so to speak, and listened to it. The key thing is the ability, not only access, but you can sort things. You can go in and say, I want grants just for libraries and artwork, or just for Humane Society, or just and so on. And that gives you an opportunity, and it brings them up and says, this is only eligible for, people in Colorado, or it tells you, no, you're eligible. So you can scale it down pretty quick. You can find those that are, useful to you, and you can apply it. To be honest with you, our concept was, for that amount of money, all it's going to take is one grant, and it pays for itself. We kind of looked at it from a perspective it's worth trying. It is $1,700 for each of 3 years, but felt it was a worthwhile opportunity to find some of those smaller grants for some of our departments that have, can use that kind of money. Again, I doubt this will help, replace the Rasmus Inge Bridge. You never know. There are some big ones in there, but for the most part, it's going to be smaller stuff.
Okay. John?
Yeah, Madam Mayor. Steve?
Yes, sir.
I used this program when I was running PIA, and this is, at least 5 years ago. But it was only allowed to be on one computer. And it had to be a dedicated computer. Other staff could use it, but you had to dedicate the software and the computer to it, and which, goes into the expense. And really found that, it's good for like $200,000, $500,000 grant, things like that. But it was more work than it was worth. And that was just what we found. If we had a dedicated grant person that's, that's what they were doing, or the PEDC was, honing in on this and had a number of areas to go, I think it'd be worthwhile. But we ended up just dumping it because it was more hassle than it was worth.
The 17, if I may, I'm sorry, we get two licenses, so what we've been told, mm-hmm. is that we can run this on two two different people, so basically two different computers. The plan was to use Liz in her role to do a lot of the searching for us, and she knows all of the different agencies in town really well and basically find them, either help fill them out or get them out to folks who can fill out and enter it in, and then use the other license probably at the library, who again has staff that can sit there and look for this stuff while they're doing other things. May not get anywhere this first year when they're moving, but the hope was between those two, maybe make it worthwhile. But that was kind of where we had in mind of putting it. Again, two different groups of people that have maybe the ability to work between other jobs and look for stuff. But I mean,
if I may,
mm-hmm.
Is there anything in the database that shows how many grants have gone to communities in the state of Alaska in the last year or the last 5 years that you can assess? Or have we talked to other communities that are using it that could give us an indication of how well it's worked for them?
We talked to some other communities, none of whom were in Alaska.
So I
don't know if anybody in Alaska, I mean, she couldn't tell me anybody in Alaska that was using it.
Huh.
And now, granted, a lot of these grants are based in the lower 48 and, you know, maybe just hadn't got people's attention. But that's one of the concerns. We don't know if this has been successful. I mean, you know, John's got some firsthand knowledge at this point. You know, I'm not going to say it's a guarantee that we find grants. They're well known. They're, you know, legitimate. When we looked at the dollar amount, we thought, okay, between our groups, we ought to be able to find in 3 years enough grants to cover, you know, that dollar amount. But again, there's no guarantee. I mean, they're not promising us grants. They're just, it's a grant search tool. It's not a grant giving tool.
Ms. Mayor.
Oh, sorry, John.
If the city manager, the borough manager, has recommended this, I'm willing to go along with it and just ask for an annual report as part of the budget process on how it's doing to see how it goes.
Yeah.
Is that a motion?
Yeah, I'll move approval of the purchase. I didn't know if the discussion was open or not to do that.
Second.
Okay. Cindy?
I just had one more question because Alaska has grants online, and I can't remember what kind of grants that covers, if that's a duplication of this or if that the focus of those is something else.
It's interestingly enough, what we found was the eCivis product,
mm-hmm.
I mean, just because the grant's on eCivis does not mean it's not listed some other places.
Right.
So, in fact, the real value, it appeared, was in its ability to sort and see things and bring up a whole, you know, library grants and see 30 or 40 of these things. Mm-hmm. And then you start to scale it off by saying, no, that doesn't apply to us. And so was a repetition? Yes. You know, we saw grants when she was showing it to us, you know, some of the stuff that Chris gets before, you know, water and wastewater would pop up. You know, we're getting that same information from a different source, but then there was also tons of stuff we'd never seen before.
Yeah.
So it is repetitious. It's one of the challenges is, you know, we go to look for grants, you're looking in a lot of different places. That's kind of what eCivis is trying to do, is put them all in one spot and hope that it makes it easier for you to find them. You know, a lot of very obscure, and John may know more, is a lot of very obscure stuff. I mean, tribal stuff. I mean, stuff, grants that you, from oddball federal agencies that you never heard of before. I don't know exactly where they get all their information, but I mean, it was a fairly large database of stuff. And, you know, we looked up like police department and got hundreds of stuff, quick screen through, you know, designed for downtown urban areas, designed for SWAT teams. I mean, you know, so it is a process. Whoever does this, and Liz has volunteered to kind of do it, it's going to take some time to learn the system as well as find those that actually make sense and don't.
Okay, any further discussion? Okay, so the motion is to get the subscription with eCivis for $1,750 a year for the next 3 years. And Kathy, you want to call the roll?
John Ho.
Yes.
Kurt?
Yes.
Cindy?
Yes.
John Haberlick?
No.
Sue?
Yes.
Nancy?
Yes.
So motion carries 5-1. So we'll give that a whirl. Hopefully it'll pay for itself.
We think it will, but I don't want to oversell it either.
Yeah. Okay, Chris. We're looking now at authorization to enter into a solid waste transport and disposal agreement. Public Works Director Hagerman has been working with the CSWA Board and the Regional Disposal Company, RDC, for the shipping and disposal of solid waste and safe sale of recyclable materials. Hagerman, the Sanitation Department, and the Utility Board recommend the Assembly grant approval to sign the attached contract with RDC. Is there a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Okay. Moved by Haberlick and seconded by Strand. Did you want to speak to this?
Just quickly. It's kind of, first of all, the Carl is also the chairman of CSWA, which is represents four communities in the solid waste area. RDC is actually a division of Republic Waste, the massively huge trash company down south. They went through a request for qualification, RFQ process. Then, based on those qualifications, we asked for RFPs. And reality is what it comes back to is as close to a monopoly as you can get. The one who ends up winning it is the one that we're already using because no one else can really navigate through our process. But that being said, the contract does lower the cost per ton of waste from 110 to 105 per ton. One of the real interesting things, because we talked about the commingled recycling, because of how they do it, and it gets cut, but a baled group of recyclable material cost us $33 a ton. So, in a sense, you can look at if we recycle, the difference between 33 and 105, you can call it savings. So, you know, we're still having to pay. Recycling, we don't get money for that. But by the time you go through the process, it cost us $33 per ton to give them our recycle. It cost us $105 a ton to give them trash. So it's why this commingled and our talk about recycling is so important. If we in fact can do this and do it well and offset the costs of picking up the recycle, which is significant, it has the opportunity to at least stabilize the solid waste costs or potentially even lower them over time. So we recommend that the contract be approved. It does lower our costs, and it's a company we're used to working with, and it's done a good job for us. So.
Any questions on the contract? I had two. I was curious how long the test is going to go with the commingled recycles. Do you know? Is it going to? Okay.
I thought it was in July, into July sometime.
Like a month or so.
Yes.
So if we go to co-mingle, then do we have to change this, or
no.
Does that just change the money on the end of the recycle stuff?
May I, Chris? Correct me if I get it wrong. Yeah. The cost on the co-mingled on the recycling is a PIA issue. We are going to have to pay them more. Because they will be picking up a lot more than what they are today.
Okay.
And we've already tested that. So what you end up with is costs go up to pick it up, costs go down to get rid of it. The hope is that we can offer the service of recycling, which is a good thing to do, and get it to a point where it at least breaks even and gets stuff out of the main waste stream. So that's the reason we started the commingling process, was for the sole purpose of trying to make it easier for people to recycle, so we get more into that stream because it's cheaper.
Yeah.
So may I ask a question? So I'm looking at the paragraph that's talking about the price of recycled materials, and that they'll be sold, and that that money will come back to Petersburg. That's aside from the costs of shipping it?
It's by the time you take into the cost of, yeah, it ends up, we pay a lot less. They pay us, but it offsets, it's offset by some of the cost factors. I mean, the way, and Chris, can you explain this better than I am?
The recycled material commingled, which is what we're doing the trial period for. It actually costs us more to ship and process, but then we get quite a bit of money back, as you know, when they sell those commodities.
Okay, that's,
we get that back, and so it ends up costing us a net, you know, $33 instead of $100 per ton.
Yeah, I was trying to give you the net numbers and that thing.
Okay. Anything further? Okay. Kathy, would you like to call the roll on that?
John Hulk?
Yes.
Sue?
Yes.
Cindy?
Yes.
John Haverlett?
Yes.
Kurt?
Yes.
Nancy?
Yes.
Okay, motion carries 6-0. The next is the approval of the Petersburg Regional and Community Jail contract for fiscal year 14. The State of Alaska Department of Corrections has changed the contract term from a one-year contract to a five-year contract with annual consumer price index and geographical differential increases. There are also some minor language changes to be in compliance with the Division of Risk Management requirements. Do I have a motion?
I move.
Okay. One jog move, John moves in 1 second. Okay. Any discussion then on the jail contract? Okay, you want to call the roll?
Cindy?
Yes.
Sue?
Yes.
Nancy?
Yes.
Kurt?
Yes.
John Haverlett?
Yes.
John Hogue?
Yes.
Okay, and that carries 6-0. Now, item E was added by Member Haverlick, and it concerns the 2015 budget.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I brought this up at our last meeting. I guess, being a chief person, I am concerned about our budget, and I think the staff and the department heads are doing a fantastic job, and we're really lucky to have an excellent staff. But I really would like to see us, rather than spending more each year, increasing our budget, looking at trying to make as many cuts as possible to go easier on our businesses and residents, to take some of the tax burden off of them. And I wanted to start this discussion now, so we're not saying, you know, in the middle of budget, we want 5% cut, or we want this or that, so people could prepare for it. And I'm really hoping to get a 3% budget cut for next year. And you know, the other concern I have is, like, I'd heard that our tax, well, one reason we had we canceled our tax-free days is our revenue is down 70,000, so we're having a hard time making things, making our budget balance out. But if we're taking 70,000 less in sales tax, that means our businesses are taking about 1.2 million less in sales. I think, I don't know, I don't want to be alarmist, but I do want to be as conservative as possible going forward, so that if people are having a tough time, you know, we're working to try to ease that burden. It's more of a concern than anything else.
John?
Hey, Ms. Mayor, my concern with the process we did this last year is that it was all done in a week, and it was a week where I happened to be pretty booked out of town months in advance on some of my other projects I do. And I would just like to see the budget process taken over more time, spread out over more weeks, so if one of us or more of us has to be gone, we don't miss the whole kabang. And that's my concern. I think putting anything in stone right now is a little premature, but we can certainly work on those issues.
Mm-hmm. Jody and I talked about that, the hearing issues all being in 1 week, and then they were so late that you had to vote on everything right then because of the, you know, you had to have the three hearings and everything. So she's hoping to start the whole process maybe 2 months sooner this next time, and then we can hopefully.
And then we can look at every cut that people want to make and see where we go with it.
Mm-hmm. Nancy, you had a comment?
I just want to make the observation that this might not be the best year to set a 3% cut in stone when we've expanded our municipality, as it were.
Yeah.
And we don't know what that's going to bring in or what it's going to cost. So.
Good point.
So there's no motion, so we can just John A.
No,
I'm
discussing. It's just a matter of discussion, and you know, not saying anything in stone because I agree with you. We don't know what's going to happen, but I want to set a tone, I guess.
Yeah, I think we're all with you. Okay, communications. The first thing we have is a letter from Captain John Falvey Jr., General Manager, of the Alaska Marine Highway System. Dear Mayor Jensen, I would like to extend a sincere thank you for helping us make the Petersburg Community Celebration for our 50th anniversary a great success. Many people came to help celebrate, and it was indeed an honor to welcome a very large group of Petersburg citizens to the Malaspina to enjoy the Lycoming dancers, the beautiful handmade cookies, dignitary speeches, and thank you exchanges. It was wonderful to see so many members of the community enjoying dinner in the ship's cafeteria and participating in the kids' games on the car deck. The fireworks and light display send-off was just incredible. I had many people comment that Petersburg was the highlight of the Golden Voyage. My staff and I would also like to thank those who contributed their time and assistance in making this event possible and very memorable. Sally Dwyer with the Petersburg Chamber of Commerce, the Lycoming Norwegian Dancers, and your talented bakers and explosive technicians. We would greatly appreciate your assistance in recognizing the time and effort put forth by these people and organizations. Alaska Marine Highways certainly appreciates our community partners and the important role they play. We look forward to working with you in the years to come as we continue to strive to provide the transportation service which we know is so vital to our Southeast communities. Sincerely, Captain Falvey. So. Okay, we also have a letter from the Wrangell mayor, and the Wrangell Special Energy Committee has chosen to make the following recommended letter of invitation to our three partner communities in support of a probationary review of our SEPA partnership. Whereas the cities of Ketchikan, Petersburg, and Wrangell have agreed to create the Southeast Alaska Power Agency, SEPA, with the stipulation of conducting a review no later than December 31, 2014, we feel there exists within the communities enough interest to commission a review of the SEPA infrastructure and operations with the intent on identifying if there are any favorable changes and or enhancements to this joint action agency that could better serve our communities in the years to come. This is not a request for a review to disband SEPA, but rather an approach to the agreed-upon review as a probationary review. We would like to invite the partner communities, Ketchikan and Petersburg, to consider jointly participating in conducting a probationary review of SEPA with the following actions. Number one, the communities request that SEPA pay for this review. Number two, each community solicit questions and comments from within their communities at large to present to a mutually agreed upon qualified independent contractor. That can answer the questions in regards to best practices and structures of SEPA. Number three, SEPA board or staff not involve itself in the creation of the independent report. SEPA board and staff will, of course, have access to the report at the time the communities are presented with the report. And number four, the communities review the report and consider any recommendations, if any, that they feel appropriate to present to the SEPA board for consideration. Sincerely, David L. Jack, Mayor, City and Borough of Wrangell. Mr. Hogue.
Ms. Mayor, I'd like to ask Joe Nelson to weigh in on this issue.
Yeah, there was a MOU signed in 2008. The parties to that MOU were the three communities. I think it's good to note that SEPA was not a party to the MOU. The MOU was the three communities, and that MOU stated no later than December 31st, 2014, they will jointly commission an independent analysis, and then it goes on to explain what that is. So there is some obligation to us to participate in this if and when it happens. Why they're attempting to do it this year, I have no idea, because the deadline to commission the study is December 31st of next year, so it's 18 months away. There is interest in Wrangell to take a look at individual ownership. To my knowledge, there is no interest in Ketchikan, nor is there any interest in Petersburg. It seems a little strange to me to ask SEPA to pay for it when they're not a party to it, and to ask them to commission, or doesn't they scratch that, not commission, but to pay for the study that looks at their potential disbanding. So I'm a little bit of a loss to try to explain why this is come before you at this time, but I think it's untimely. I just think it's untimely. I think ultimately we do need to address it, but probably not until next summer, a year from now.
One other question, Joe, is the SEPA meeting is going to be here this month?
That's correct.
On the 25th?
On the 26th.
26th?
Yes. I will be safely floating away on the ferry that morning.
You will not be at that meeting?
I will not be at
okay.
that meeting.
I have one more question, and it is of Joe. I was looking back through my notes, and when Joe Southland first came and spoke to us,
Paul.
Did I say the right name?
Paul Southland.
Paul Southland.
Mm-hmm.
He talked about the ARECA insurance and that some of that money potentially could come back to Petersburg, but they didn't know who actually was the policyholder. Has that any more information come out about that?
We did get more information at the last Thomas Bay Power Authority meeting, and it looks to be extremely difficult for us to lay hands on that money. ARECA was not very congenial about that. It was obvious that they're not used to dealing with that. The people that they have insured, they've insured for the last 100 years, and they continue to insure them. So to have somebody who has significant funds in there and no longer insuring, it kind of threw them for a loop. It is something that needs to be pursued, and the commission will continue to look at that, but we don't have any more answers at this point.
Okay, thank you.
Madam Mayor,
John?
I also had a question for Joe. Joe, on that review that you mentioned that needs to be done or started by sometime in the end of 2014, are the things the Wrangell mayor is asking for this similar to what's outlined on that review?
No, I would have to say not. It just says that we'll work together, the three communities, to commission this analysis. And basically the analysis is going to... Would you like me to read that paragraph? It's
sure.
Not that long. It says, no later than December 31st, 2014, they will jointly commission an independent analysis of the economics, of the sale of individual projects and the breakup of the restructured agency into SEPA. The analysis will consider the history of payments by each utility, the effects of the pooling arrangement, the impacts of any loss of such pooling, including rates charged to member utilities, any remaining debt owed on the agency purchase of the combined projects, the current value of the project proposed to be purchased, and such other factors as may be appropriate at the time of the analysis. The member utilities agree to discuss in good faith the project sale or breakup based on such analysis. The parties understand that this MOU does not require any breakup or sale of the project, as any such breakup or sale of the projects requires an amendment to the PSA, that's the power sales agreement, as well as approval of the governing bodies of each of the member utilities. So it's rather broadly stated, and it includes some things that must be looked at. And so what needs to happen is you need to put out an RFP to hire this independent consultant and outline those things that you want them to look at.
Thank you.
So we don't need to take any action at this point.
That's my humble opinion, that you don't need to.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. I would suggest that at least we have the courtesy of responding to the Wrangell mayor. I mean, this is a dialogue that's going to have to come up again. Mm-hmm. And I would suggest that we could let the city manager, the borough manager, do the response. Simply to say, but my two cents is that it is inappropriate for us to ask SEPA to write a bank check to pay for a review, number one. And number two, especially with the turnover in SEPA and the new director, who's relatively new still, that doing this before the end of December 2014 just isn't fair to SEPA. And I would suggest that the letter simply say that we will cooperate in good faith with our obligation, but we think that should start as the time limit stated in the document that Joe read.
Okay, any further discussion? Sounds good, then?
I'll get a draft letter.
Okay, thank you. Okay, recognitions. Anyone have any recognitions tonight? John Howard.
Madam Mayor, I met the family that Captain Westry and Officer Pop saved a couple weeks ago, and needless to say, they're very happy because the gentleman that they saved was going to die, and he he's just very happy that they were there. They got there so fast. They knew what to do and kept him alive until the Sandy and the EMT crew got there. And he's walking around today and being with his wife and sons, and it's you can't say enough to both of you on how great that is. So thank you.
Yes, those are little miracles when they work like that. It's great. Thank you. Anybody else? We have this last thing in our packet is a letter from the Coast Guard. Do we need to read that also?
I'll summarize
Thank
it,
you.
And I'll give you some background on why we thought you should be aware. Basically, the letter is about some expansion of Coast Guard capabilities in Ketchikan and their plan to move, you know, these new larger cutters. Basically, what it appears to be to Ketchikan and Juneau. That has a potential impact on Petersburg, as we are just a mooring, and we cannot handle 154-foot cutter here. Did have a meeting with our lobbyist, brought that up, and he was fairly open about that. You know, the Coast Guard's funding, they've been given a larger mission, but not a larger budget to handle that larger mission. So he does feel there is threats down the road to Coast Guard being based here or in other places. So that as these 154-foot cutters are rolled out, they have a lot longer range, and they can operate efficiently from places like Ketchikan and Juneau and don't necessarily have to be in Petersburg. He did say that reaching out to the Coast Guard and involving them in the community and doing all of the kinds of things that we can do starting early is a good thing, meaning making sure our delegation understands how important they are to the community. Potentially could maybe retask some of the smaller ships here if in fact that, you know, the decision's ever made to move them elsewhere. So it's more of an FYI to say, you know, keep your ears open. You know, the Anacapa is not going anywhere right now, but at some point it will be retired. And if the trend continues, then you could see that they wouldn't be replacing, you know, they wouldn't be bringing the big cutters here. So we want to keep our eye on it. Talk to Bruce Jones, who's in charge of the Coast Guard Auxiliary here in town, and we're talking about some ways to help get them more involved and give us more information, and just to keep our eyes on it.
Alrighty, thank you.
So everybody show up at noon on the 1st.
That's what I
would wouldn't be a bad thing.
Yeah.
Madam Mayor, I move to adjourn.
Is there a second?
Second.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Our next meeting is July 1 at 1 o'clock.
Petersburg Borough Assembly meetings are brought to you by KFSK and Petersburg Wrangell Insurance, helping clients find out how to protect any valuable asset from stamp or teacup collections to houses, boats of all sizes, and everything in between. Plenty of information from the local agents is available at Petersburg Wrangell Insurance, 772-3858.